Conflicted. Better lick your finger and turn a page. Dissect the lines that paid you to rage. Get out of your Monday drudgery. Turn up the volume on front page fuckery. Yeah.
And the birthday girl is here. I'm here after all of the bits. Anyway, let me just introduce myself before I start yapping away. It's me, Kelechi, the baby girl, aka Mother of London. Welcome back to those of you who have been listening to Front Page Fuckery and or watching. And welcome, hi, to somebody or anybody who might be watching this for the first time. I'm hoping I become one of your favorite things about Mondays, if this actually does come out on a Monday. But it should. Here's to wishing, here's to hoping. Anyway, let's get into the things. What are we here to discuss? The front pages that I have managed to gather this week. It's only Monday, but obviously lots would have happened between last Monday and this Monday. So let's get into the things. Well, firstly, thank you to all of you who have now made it impossible for me to date anybody seriously. Why do I say this? Because you really showed up and showed out. All the donations that you made towards the children's home for my birthday. So I've got a children's home in Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria, that I started with my mum. And for my birthday, as I asked for last week, so many of you donated to the children's home, which is great because it just means I could do more things for the babs. Greatly appreciate it. It means that, you know, I can pay the staff and all of that stuff. So really, really appreciate that. I think some of you are coming to the premiere of the short film I made. It's part of a series of short films that have been shown at the London Independent Film Festival, and that's going to be Sunday 12th of October at 4 p.m. at Genesis Cinema in Hackney. So I know that quite a few of you have bought tickets to that. Looking forward to seeing you there. Like I said, act like you've got some home training. Of course, we're going to cheer for all of the other films. And some of the other films you might objectively say you think are better than mine. But who are you cheering the most for? That's right. Moi. Me. Okay? That's what we're there to do. Okay? It doesn't matter about who gets best short film. They might have already even told the people who've won it that they've won it. That doesn't matter. Just celebrate me, okay? Lucille Clifton says, celebrate me because every day something has tried to kill me and has failed. So, yeah, I look forward to seeing some of you at the screening. That'll be wonderful. It starts at 4 p.m. prompt. Any train delays, any higgy hagger that you want to have with transport, heck, if you're going to walk there, you can reach me by snail mail. You can reach me by trail mail. I don't care how you get there. Just get there if you can. That's the only message. So, yeah, I was looking at that. And one of my friends also booked me a stay at this gorgeous, gorgeous hotel. Got me a suite there for me and my son. And it's so nice. And I was walking around the suite thinking, who has done this for me that's romantically interested in me? This is why I'm not entertaining anybody. Am I Barney? Sorry, Cardi. No, I'm not entertaining anybody because my friends and my community treat me so good. They really make me feel like a baby girl. Whereas, like, I feel like there are guys who are intimidated by me, people generally who are intimidated by me. So they just like look. And I think that's what I've come to learn is from how I've built my platform, my persona, my life, my business. Some people operate better. A lot of people actually operate better as just spectators, because when they even start interacting with me, you can see that they lose their minds. They don't know what to do. And that's not me gassing up the thing. That's literally what I've noticed. Like, they don't know what to do. I'm a human being and I'm just a baby girl. But yeah, they don't have the techers like my friends do. My friends do nice things for me. So why would I settle for nonsense? Why would I settle for anything less? One guy said to me, I'm going to organise our next date. It's going to be hot and steaming, bearing in mind hot and steamy, in case I've lost my words, because I've got like my, I might sound really nasally right now because I was a bit under the weather, but now I'm better. He was like, I'm going to organise a hot and steamy date for us, bearing in mind I'm not in the whole sex thing and I haven't been for a while. And you know, when I'm just like, what does a hot and steamy date entail? Pray tell. He's like, oh, you know, we'll go for dinner and then we'll go to a club. A club? In 2025, a club? Me, a club? Oh, you absolutely got the wrong one. Me? Loud music and strangers? Absolutely the fuck not. Absolutely fucking not. He's like, oh, no. I wasn't saying that that would be the romantic, hot and steamy part. I was just saying that we could go there for a dance. And I'm not trying to ridicule, right? But my thing is, know your audience. Know your audience. When have I ever given club? I might have given thong and 9-inch heels and a pole. I might have given running in barefoot trainers. I might have given lover of suya and Gary and ground nut, but I never gave club. I haven't even given club probably since the age of 21. Like, it was odd to me. That's not my vibe. That is not my vibe at all. I don't dig it. I dig food and great experiences. Like, I want to shoot some shit, not people. I want to shoot some shit. I want to do things. Like, I'm active and I like nice things. Like, coming to me with, oh, we'll go to eat somewhere. And I was worried, nervous about where he would have even chosen for somewhere to go, because what do you actually mean? And the moment I was just like, club, that's not my vibe. He couldn't think of anything else. He was like, and kind of clammed up. And I thought, see, you ain't got it like that. I would much prefer a library. Like, keep our public libraries open. I would much prefer a library. Like, yuck, club. Although I haven't been to Eden and everyone says it's a good time. But still, that's not something I would be doing for a date. God forbid. God forbid. Standing there sweating in a thighs, sweaty. God, no. I mean, I wouldn't mind going to a bachata class or a salsa class. I just like to do shit. Just not like, no. But yeah, I was just looking at it like, yep, you all have ruined it, because you keep setting the bar higher and higher and higher. And so anyone tries to talk to me, I'm like, have you seen what my community has done for me? Have you seen what my friends have done for me? Please step back. You don't know me like that. And people are like, but you know, you're just getting to know someone. No, to get to know me already, start planning, start doing good things. Don't come with nonsense and ingredients, please. Anyway, that's enough about me, I guess. Unless I've got some notes, but I don't know if the headlines will actually cover what I wanted to say. So let me just go through it quickly. Maybe it will. No, not from what I can see. The Panorama documentary about the police. Some people are surprised. Oh my God. The police is doing something terrible? Really? Again? The Metropolitan Police never would have thunk it. So basically, an investigative journalist went undercover at Charing Cross Police Station and they caught footage of police officers saying very xenophobic, very racist, very misogynistic things. I think somebody had reported a sexual assault, and they first like made it difficult for the person and for the woman. And they didn't take it seriously at all. And one officer made a comment about who are migrating immigrants, let's say, as he called it. And he was like, you either get deported or get shot in the head. These were some of the things that were said. And I just find it funny that this is the same police force that people think can be reformed. And don't get me wrong, I'm also one person, one of the people who I've done training with the police. I've done anti-racism training with the police, because there was a point where I was like, maybe we can juggle all this shit. And then I had a very nasty reminder, a very nasty sort of reality check that absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can't reform this. It wasn't meant to be. You can't reform something that the sole purpose of it was oppression and violence, to mete out the oppression and violence sought by the elite from the oppressed. You can't reform that. Oh, but there are good police officers, like that chipmunk face bitch said. But there are. Do you tell your people, do you tell your youth that there are good police officers? I hope she watched a documentary, because she needs that information. That it isn't about, oh, are there good police? Are there good police out there? The fact is, the system that even the good police are operating within is rotten to the core. And Mark Rowley, I don't know what he's planning to do. But the next person that would, if he's asked to resign, the next person that's going to come through isn't going to be any better, because the whole thing is fucked. So all of these, what is it? Accountability groups that the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, has set up, that, oh, they'll hold me accountable and they'll hold the police accountable. No, they fucking won't. The police will arrest all of you right there and then if they really wanted to. They won't hold you accountable. So people come and tell you how you fucked up this week and go, oh yeah, sorry about that, we're looking into it, and nothing gets done. And after just getting that, you know, seeing that documentary, knowing that that information is out there, we now hear that the police have been granted more powers to deal with anybody who's protesting persistently, consistently. They are now being given more powers. So isn't that telling you everything you need to know about society? As we are having more information come forward about just how corrupt the police is, the mayor and the government, they're like, have more powers, have more funding. That should tell you that that means that the police force is not for us. They aren't here to serve and protect us. They're there to serve and protect the interests of the elite. Duh. Then I was reading, because I don't think it will be on here, Larry Ellison, the billionaire guy, is who's the owner of Oracle, is buying TikTok, and then Palantir, which I knew from a while back, now, you know, they've got their hands on OpenAI, aka ChatGPT. So we're being surveilled everywhere, which is crazy. So because what was the deal? That TikTok could stay as long as it had American owners, right? And so I guess this is the deal that they've struck. So TikTok will behave more differently. And already it's used as propaganda. Already so much is hidden on TikTok for the benefit of the governments, the various governments. We're not showing the same things that they're being shown in China on TikTok, if they even use it, because they had another app that they were using. Was it Red Note or something? But either way, we're not seeing the same things, and they want it to be that way for good reason. And now it's going to be even worse, even more vacuous. So this should tell you that we were never meant to be educated this far. We were never meant to be this educated and to be able to mobilize in this way to say that we're not going to stand for the fuck shit that's happening. So the moment that they see that more people are becoming self-actualized, they're realizing how unfair this system is. It's just like, oh, no. We need to dumb it down. We need to dumb them down. We do not need them to be smart enough to know that they don't actually have to tolerate this and overthrow us. And people like to make jest of these things, and they go, oh, so you just think some evil man is sitting in a room somewhere going, ha, 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 we're going to hold them back. No, that's not how it works overtly, but actually that is how it overall, that's the gist of it. Yes. Yes. We're not meant to be smarter. Declassified documents show us that we were never meant to be smarter. The education system, everything that was set up in the way that it was set up, was so we would just follow orders. And here comes social media to fuck up the base. And so now all these billionaires are investing in the tech that we are interested in order to stop and you know, the tech billionaires are investing in it, but and also sharing was well, sharing, selling off what they can to the government so that they can control what we feel we are interested in, not realizing that we're socialized to be interested in the things that we're interested in. And when we try and break away from it, then there's a problem. Because how are you telling people not to have a Palestinian march because a synagogue, an attack happened on a synagogue? That is terrible that it happened. Anti-Semitism is not something that should be pervasive in society at all. No, it's abhorrent. Those two things aren't the same though. And things get harder when you see that certain institutions are supporting Zionism as well. Nobody should be losing their life. At the same time, Zionism is a big problem. I'm not saying that one justifies the other. Listen to what I'm saying. Like, to see some of the things that were on the website of that particular institution, I was just like, this is wild. And at the same time, doesn't justify what's happened. It's like, you don't, we can deal with things separately, you know, as two separate entities, right? I don't think that because of what happened at the synagogue, people should not be allowed to protest the genocide that's happening in Palestine. It would almost feel as if some of these things are orchestrated in order to get people to stop protesting. Why would you do that? Why would you stoke flames in that way? Why would you want to harm people in order to orchestrate division amongst the collective? Something all right. And, you know, I look at the fact that Manchester as well, that's Andy Burnham's ends. And although I think what he stepped down from the mayorship so he could essentially go against Keir Starmer for party leader. Or is it deputy? No, I think he wants party leader. But anyway, he wanted to be able to go up for the power, the powerful things there. And I'm very cynical, I guess, some might say. And so it seems interesting, the timing. Of course, there's so much happening in the world. So many, many things could have contributed to this terrible attack. But it seems interesting, the timing and the location when Burnham is possibly the biggest threat to Starmer's position within the Labour Party. So that's interesting to me. And I just wanted to share that. And a Peace Haven, the mosque that got an arson, you know, had an arson attack against it just what in the last day. It's crazy what's happening. And it's not the first time that that mosque has been attacked as well. Britain is having an identity crisis and nobody wants to talk about it. Britain is having an identity crisis simultaneously with a mental health crisis, right? People feel like they don't have a political home. They don't, they're not as conversant with the media because they're not encouraged to be literate. We're told that politics isn't for us, you know. Oh, you're just a footballer, stay out of politics. You're a singer, stay out of politics. As if all of these things, everything we interact with in life isn't political. We are political by design. So I worry how the culmination of a mental health crisis not addressed, especially since 2020 and the lockdown, is merging with an identity crisis since Lizzie took the escalator to hell. Britain is about to have major problems. And I remember saying on Say Your Mind podcast, my previous podcast, how when I was doing the tarot, I said there's going to be a mass exodus of black people from the UK. And I'm already seeing it happening. And I didn't know why or how. I said 2025, America's not going to look anything like what you've ever known it to look like. That was one thing. And we're seeing it with the National Guard being deployed and all of these things happening. And America's just getting worse day by day by day. So there's that. But then on top of that, I mentioned about there being a mass exodus of black British people from the UK. And we're about to see why that's going to be the case, because it would literally not be safe to stay here. it's really wild what's happening. And because they won't put money into proper funding or, you know, proper funding and proper infrastructure for the mental health services in the UK. At the same time, there's an identity crisis, not being helped at all by the fact that you've got white people who see themselves as apolitical, white men who see themselves as apolitical, like what's his name? Gary Stevenson, is it Gary? Gary Stevenson, who sees himself as apolitical, saying to the Reform voters, my friends were scared to step out of their front doors at the last weekend because they think you're racist. I told them you're not. You're just worried about the future of this country. Prove to them that you're not racist. What kind of bullshit message is that? What kind of bullshit message is that to be telling the world? Like, it's, we don't realize how dangerous some of this rhetoric is. Proof to them that you're not racist. No, they are. Because racism isn't just the act that you think it is, like, oh, they called you the N-word or they did this and that. It's the actions that you take because of the way that you've been indoctrinated by a system. It's the way that you think. It's the way that you move through the world. You're telling them to just stop being racist. And if you notice yourself having racist movements, you need to think about that and stop that. What's a racist movement? Is it a... Is it a robot? Like, what are you saying? Is it a dance move? And I know that not all of us are conversant when it comes to discussing race and racism. But when you have the resources to know better and to go and learn, that means it's a conscious effort to not know these things because you actually don't care to know. Because to you, race and racism, the whole discussion is actually an inconvenience to you because it would mean, in order to address race and racism, would mean the destruction of capitalism and your whole identity is crafted around. It is based on capitalism thriving. In fact, saying, or is it Zach Polanski saying, or whatever his name is, saying on his podcast that, oh, I don't actually want inequity or inequality to stop. I just want this, that, and the other. So you don't ever want the problem to go away because you, the way that you thrive is presenting yourself as part of some kind of solution. And if there's no problem, then you're not necessary as the solution. And that's scary to me. And to watch people lap it up, I think is crazy. Same thing with Stephen Bartlett. These men do not mean well in the way that you think they do. And they're not as smart as they think they are or as you think they are. But I just wanted to share that really, because I don't think fence sitting and trying to appeal to the hearts of Reform voters is the way to go. But I'm not saying vilify them. I mean, they're doing a great job of that all by themselves. Explain things to them, educate them, but do not gaslight them and us by telling them, oh, prove that you're not racist. How are they going to do that when they are? If it quacks like a duck, quack, quack, you know? So anyway, let's get into it. So this week I've got the Daily Mirror, the Daily Mail, the iPaper, all for our perusal. Let's see. I might even pause this in a bit. So I've got the Daily Mirror, the Daily Mail, the iPaper, the Times and the Guardian. I want to start with the Daily Mail. It says here at the very top, my husband has cheated on me at least 3 times, but he earns so much, I won't ever leave him. Okay. Okay. Whatever you say, I know many people resonate with that, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Anyway, PM security chief faces MPs grilling over China spy scandal. Finger pointed at Jonathan Powell as Commons espionage case collapses. Keir Starmer's national security advisor could be hauled before MPs to answer questions about the collapse of the Chinese spying case. Jonathan Powell is facing calls to appear before Parliament to explain why charges were dropped against 2 British men accused of passing secrets to Beijing. Sir Lindsay Hoyle, the Commons Speaker, previously warned that the decision gave a green light to hostile states and said he was considering bringing a private prosecution against the men. Ministers have so far refused to explain what happened, prompting MPs to demand that Mr. Powell, who's Tony Blair's former chief of what exactly? Oh, now Gary Neville. Oh, they're vilifying Gary Neville? Ciao. Who was Tony Blair's former chief of staff to appear before Parliament. Mr. Powell could be held in contempt of Parliament if he refused to appear before the Joint Committee on National Security Strategy, according to a senior Commons source. Prosecutors dropped the cases against Christopher Cash, 30. What a name, CC. Credit card, love. A former parliamentary researcher from London, and Christopher Berry. Why are they all called Christopher? Do y'all know Columbus? Anyway, Christopher Berry, 33, an academic from Oxfordshire. The pair were charged with spying under the Official Secrets Act by passing information to a high-ranking member of the Chinese government, allegations that they deny. Days before the charges were dropped, Mr. Powell gathered senior Whitehall officials, including Foreign Office Permanent Secretary Oliver Robbins, to discuss the evidence, it was reported. He told the top secret meeting that China would not be deemed an enemy of Britain at the trial, according to the Sunday Times. Experts have said that without such a classification, it would be impossible for the Crown Prosecution Service to bring a successful prosecution under the Official Secrets Act. Mr. Powell has previously been criticised for spearheading the Chagos Islands deal, under which sovereignty of the territory is ceded to Mauritius. The decision to discontinue the spying case was said to have come from the very top, according to witnesses, the paper added, something the Cabinet Office has rejected as completely false. Government sources said Mr. Powell did not have a decision-making role. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood said she was very disappointed at the collapse of the case and denied there was any ministerial interference. Sorry, I've got a pause. Shabana Mahmood made me laugh, not in a good way, when she said she said in an interview recently, just because you have your freedoms doesn't mean you have to use them every day. She was saying that in response to people going out to protest despite the attack on the synagogue. And she was like, yeah, just because you have your freedoms doesn't mean you have to use them every day. Is that not the point of freedom, Shabana? Shabana! Shabs! Is that not the point of freedom, that I exercise it every day? And it's also my freedom, my right to say, I understand that that happened and that's terrible. And this is happening and this is also terrible. And I'm going to go out and show my dissent that this particular thing continues to happen. What is not clicking? They change the flag to the United Israel, about United Kingdom, the Union Jack, change it to the Union Israel and be done. All of this performance that we're doing, it's not a united kingdom. It's an untied kingdom. It has unraveled. Let it go. Anyway, back to Shabana. We will push. What is it? Hold on. Asked if China was an enemy of the UK, she said, a challenge is, I think, the word that I would use. Former Tory leader Sir Ian Duncan Smith accused Number 10 of being a threat to national security. We will push for a full debate in Parliament. This government must be forced to come clean about whether it blocked justice to appease a hostile state, he told Times Radio. Former Cabinet Minister Gavin Williamson, who serves on the National Security Committee, said there are real concerns here that the National Security Advisor seems to have interfered in a case and is not actually defending our democratic institutions, but seems to have sided with and kowtowed to Chinese political and business pressure. If this is the case, it is extraordinary and reflects poorly on him and the PM. If it is not, he needs to make clear that this is the case. Alicia Kearns, the shadow national secretary minister, who previously worked with one of the accused, said it was outrageous that Mr. Powell had not appeared before MPs. She added that he should have appeared long ago to answer questions about the Chagos Islands. She's an op about she worked with one of the guys, and wow. Wow. She worked with one of the accused and she's been an op. She's like, no, get him. Get him. You don't want China's problems, especially because China bought most of the real estate, has bought most of the real estate across London and in various places. So if you say due to the, National Secrets Act or whatever, if you call them an enemy, if you place China in that category of enemy, they should withdraw all of their money that they've invested in the UK. And then what will you have? Right. So that's why it can't go ahead. It makes no sense. But we will continue shortly. I'm back. I went to do the school run. Would you imagine that? This is the life of like self-producing and podcasting. I was like, let me go and do that now before they come and like accuse me of being a bad parent. Nobody could ever. Nobody could ever. But yeah, I had to drive over, sort that, and then come back and continue recording. But don't be worried about me. I just feel like ultimately what I was saying regarding the China spy scandal, it all sounded odd at the time. And I just thought to myself, literally anybody at this point could be accused of being a spy. Although I've always wanted to be a spy, but no one will hire me, child, because I would be doing the most. I'll be giving them irrelevant information. I'll be like, oh, and they were wearing these shoes that to me looked like they were from 2005. They had no business wearing them. As far as I'm concerned, they could have chosen a different outfit, and they'll be like, God, is that what we sent you there to do? Although, knowing that somebody was wearing shoes from 2005 might actually be important information. So there's that. But yeah, the Daily Fail has given us the spy scandal as the big thing, the China spy scandal as the big thing. However, on the side, we have a picture of Meghan the Markle. Meghan the Markle. And it says, Meghan posts insensitive video of herself passing Diana crash tunnel. Solo visit Duchess at Paris Fashion Week. Do you mean to tell me that because she was in a car or wherever driving, she drove, and that she was in a car, and that made front page news for the Daily Fail? Like, they hate this woman. She drove past. The tunnel is a used tunnel. It's a tunnel that many people use. So she posts insensitive videos. So now she can't post again. If she ever passed the tunnel, there is a problem. It says here. Wait. Images of her video by the Sen, because she can't post the video anymore. And if anybody, if she was going to throw shade at anybody, was it really going to be Diana, the Princess of Hearts? Never was it going to be that. It would never, ever be that. I mean, there are other people she could throw shade at. But it says here, they show a map. It's just bullshit, really. And this is how they get people hurt, because they're making this out as if it's any sort of news in the first place. To give it front page coverage, that's a violent act. It says here, a solo visit to the French capital by the Duchess of Sussex was always going to be redolent of another woman, another time. Just the very presence of Meghan in Paris, flashbulbs popping, her monochrome elegance and that dazzling diamond engagement ring crafted using gems from the jewellery collection of the mother-in-law she never knew, was enough. But then, ever the influencer, Meghan went further. Having made a star appearance, striding through the assembled crowds in dazzling white at Paris Fashion Week to take her seat for Italian designer Pier Paolo Piccioli's, or is it Piccioli's? Anyways, or is it Piccioli? If it's two C's, Gucci, Piccioli. Piccioli's debut for Balenciaga. sorry if you ever want to address me for Balenciaga, and I pronounced your name like that. Anyway, she decided to document her visit for a 4.2 million follow for her 4.2 million followers on Instagram. The first video posted to her story was the amuse-bouche to whet the appetite of fans, a cryptic teaser of a pair of chic black stilettos click-clacking across a glossy floor to the strains of the Gaelic trance track. They don't ask me anything. I don't know. There's a song that they mention. Anyway, it's just throwing me. Like, I thought, let me scan the article because I just don't get what's going on here. Anyway, they say later on Saturday evening, there was another video, seconds in duration, but documenting a journey that will be for anyone older than 40, Megan is 44, immediately poignant. The clip, presumably filmed by Megan herself on her way back from the Balenciaga after show party, starts in the back of her chauffeur driven car as it whizzes along the banks of the Seine by night. We see the Pont Alexandre III bridge, and then the vehicle continues on towards the Pont de l'Alma bridge as Megan lifts her feet, elegantly clad in Balenciaga's £745 knife heels, onto the seat opposite her. Did Meghan, who married Prince Harry in 2018, realise that this was a parallel journey separated by the flowing waters of the Seine to that followed by her husband's... Oh, sorry, there was a fly. Sorry. This is... The fly reminds me of the Daily Mail because this is how I want to swat at them. Anyway, it says here, to that followed by her husband's mother on her fateful final evening in August 1997. That journey, of course, ended in tragedy when the car Princess Diana was travelling in smashed into a pillar in the Pont de l'Alma tunnel. It is easy to see why any similar route taken by Diana's daughter-in-law might at very least raise eyebrows, particularly when one considers that the Montecito dwelling mother of two, who was 16 when Diana died, must surely have read her husband's autobiography, Spare. I'm not even going to carry on reading it because it's just so, it's so nasty and it's so grasping at straws that this is what you want to focus on. So nobody should ever use that tunnel. I've just knocked my camera, but nobody should ever use that tunnel again. Nobody should ever use that bridge again. What? What? It's weird. It's weird how they get onto her about the craziest things. She's doing a good job of making herself appear unlikable to many people just through her own Netflix series. You lot don't need to add to it. She's doing just fine. Leave the woman alone. Very crazy behavior. Then what else have I got? So sticking with the Daily, we've got the Daily Mirror. Skinner gets Strictly boot. I don't watch Strictly, so I don't know. I'd never trust a celeb. Alan Carr ready for traitors. Interesting people that they've got for traitors. Don't really recognize most of them. I mean, I recognize a couple of them. Then on the front page of the Daily Mirror, we've basically got, it says here, Gary Neville's plea. Don't use our flag to divide us. Former England star says symbol of pride has been hijacked to spread hatred. Gary Neville has accused those behind the flag flying across Britain of stoking division and hate. And the England legend called for unity in the face of rising tensions sparked by far-right figures preying on people's fears. Neville said of the flag campaign, "We're all being turned on each other. The division being created is disgusting, mainly created by angry middle-aged white men who know exactly what they're doing." Gary, thank you for saying what needs to be said. The Tale of the Two Garys will be the title of this podcast. The Tale of the Two Garys. Because we've got one Gary talking crap, sat in front of biscuits, carefully curated, placed in front of him, talking about, oh, prove to them that you're not racist. My friends think you're racist. They were scared to go out of their homes. They were scared to go out because of the march last weekend. Pouting for the camera endlessly. trying to do the whole, I'm still working class, if you know, I got millions. Who's that for? We've got that Gary doing nonsense. Meanwhile, this Gary, this Gaz, is calling it as it is, saying that you, it's the middle-aged white men spreading the nonsense. What Gary said in full. Oh, this picture of him and David Beckham is very hot. Ooh. I'd like to see that set piece. Ignore me. What Gary said in full. So I've left my house, walking to the office, waking up and seeing the news last night that the news and the news this morning dominated by the horrific attacks within the Jewish community about a mile from here. When I was driving to Salford City last night, going down Littleton Road, I've seen probably 50 or 60 Union Jack flags. And on the way back, I went down the parallel road, Bury New Road, which has got the Jewish community right at its heart. And they're out on the streets, defiant, not hiding in fear. I just kept thinking as I was driving home last night that we're all being turned on each other, and a division that's been created is absolutely disgusting, mainly created by angry middle-aged white men who know exactly what they're doing. Funnily enough, one of my development sites last week, there was a Union Jack flag put up and I took it down instantly. Some people might be watching this and thinking, Gary, you're not really patriotic. I've played for my country 85 times. I love my country. I love Manchester and I love England. But I've been building in this city for 15, 20 years and there's no one put a Union Jack flag up in the last 15 to 20 years. So why do you need to put one up now? Because quite clearly, it's sending a message to everybody that there is something you don't like. The Union Jack flag being used in a negative fashion is not right. And I'm a proud supporter of England, of Great Britain, of our country, and will champion it anywhere in the world. Well, calm down, love, calm down. That's one of the greatest places to live. Okay, now you're pushing it. But I think we need to check ourselves and start to think about bringing ourselves back to a neutral point, because we're being pulled right and left and we don't need to be pulled right and left at all. Is there something in the water for people named Gary? He was doing so well, but I think I get what he means. I think I get it. Not that it makes it right, because neutrality in the face of depravity is insanity. Wow. Kelechi, give it to them. Grammy for your girl. Neutrality in the face of depravity is insanity. You have to know. You have to speak up. Some things are just fucked. It's not about right, left, this, that. It's just fucked, right? And you should be able to say that it's fucked. I've played in a football team with a group of people from Manchester, a group of people from Ireland, Wales, Scotland, but also I've played with people from Africa, people from Asia, people from America, people from Europe, and we were a beautiful team, united as one. Brexit has had a devastating effect on this country, and the messaging is getting dangerous, extremely dangerous. All these idiots that are out there spreading hate speech in any form and abuse in any form, we must stop promoting them. It needs to stop now and get back to a country of love, peace, of harmony, and become a team again. Now, I hate to break it to you, Danny. I was going to say Danny boy, Gary boy. Gary, Mr. Neville, I hate to break it to you, but this description, we need to go back to a country of love, of peace. A country of peace? Harmony? You know, I might let you have harmony in the sense of people were harmonized in the choir of colonialism. Oh, I'm coming out with the one-liners today, baby. Help me keep track. Maybe, but peace? Britain has never known peace. Like, let's stop being ridiculous. Britain, as in Britannia, as in Brit babe, never known peace, doesn't know the meaning of it, goes out to give peace to the rest of the world, but that girl has never seen peace in her life. Absolutely not. So Gary, you were doing well, but as another middle-class white man, your understanding is capped. However, I will take your understanding over the understanding that Gary Stevenson gave us. And thus we have the tale of two Garys. Anyway, let's go to the Times. I'm getting all the fuck shit out of the way first. The Times, the daily newspaper of the year. Interesting. First for football, Grealish's winning touch. Can Brits pick fruit? I tried. Kate Spicer. Okay. Trump warns Hamas of obliteration as negotiators fly to Egypt. Funnily enough, somebody keeps watching my my website from Egypt. President Trump threatened Hamas with complete obliteration if it attempted to retain power as American and Israeli negotiators flew to Egypt to try to confirm a deal to release hostages and end the war in Gaza. The genocide, it's not a war. Benjamin Netanyahu has ordered an Israeli delegation headed by Ron Dermer to depart for talks in Sharm el-Sheikh, where they'll be joined by officials from Hamas and the US. Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, and Steve Witkoff, his peace and envoy, are due to attend. Speaking to reporters outside the White House yesterday, Trump said negotiations had started and would last a couple of days and were going very well. He added, "It's a great deal for Israel. It's a great deal for the entire Arab world, Muslim world, and world. So we're very happy about it," he said. Israel's prime minister struck a cautious tone, saying that it is possible that Hamas would agree to release all of the hostages it is holding in Gaza. If it doesn't happen, then President Trump has said that he will back Israel completely in acting forcefully against Hamas, Netanyahu told Euronews. Hamas has said it would support the proposal, but with conditions. The plan includes proposals for the release of the hostages, no role for Hamas in the future administration of Gaza, and the eventual withdrawal of Israeli troops. Hamas denied that it had agreed to hand over its weapons to a Palestinian-Egyptian body under international supervision, calling the report baseless and with no foundation. However, Marco Rubio, the US Secretary of State, said the group had agreed to Trump's framework for releasing the hostages. There are 48 hostages still being held in Gaza, 20 of whom are believed to be alive. We cannot fail this time. Okay, well, I don't know what I can really say about that. That hasn't been said. The hostages, but what do we have to say about the Palestinian hostages? I'm not calling them prisoners. The Palestinian hostages that have been held from when they were children by Israel. What happens then? And that Hamas have no say in the government that is then formed because you plan to what? Put puppets in place? I'm not too well versed, so let me not speak out of turn, but it's sounding very odd to me, and I don't know why we're still listening to America. Mahmoud, Shabana. Shabana's about to get her moment. Police could get power to ban protests. Plan after Palestine activists refuse to delay rally. Police could be given powers to ban protests outright, Shabana Mahmoud has said, accepting that Jews are justified in asking for more from ministers. The Home Secretary said that officers would be able to curb repeat protests after organisers of pro-Palestine rallies refused to postpone demonstrations after the terrorist attack on a synagogue in Manchester on Thursday. So we did have a story about it. I just didn't clock it. Kemi Badenoch, the Conservative leader, said that pro-Palestine marches had become carnivals of hatred directed at the Jewish homeland. I know ChatGPT helped you with that because, my God, it's terrible. Wow. Opening the Tory party conference in Manchester, she said, chants such as "From the River to the Sea" and "Globalize the Intifada" had been tolerated in this country for too long. Wait. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. That's offensive. Everybody's crazy. Jewish groups said that further powers were needed as the Times uncovered a series of events at universities to mark the 2-year anniversary of the October 7th Hamas attacks tomorrow. Among them is a night of remembrance and resistance at Goldsmiths University, London. Another at Strathclyde University urges those attending to grab your flag and your keffiyeh to mark 2 years on from the attacks that left more than 1,000 Jews dead and 251 taken hostage. And the Times, you lot are fucking nasty. Matt Dathan or Dathan, Home Affairs editor, you're a pussy clerk. You're an idiot. Because why would you frame it as that? Is that why they're having the, is that why they're having the remembrance? Is that why? Is that why? Or are they not thinking about how the assault on Gaza, on the Palestinians, has been relentless specifically from the 7th of October because of these attacks? They are not celebrating people being killed and being held hostage. Why would you write it like that? Fuck you, Matt. Student groups from King's College London, the School of Oriental and African Studies, aka SOAS, University College London, and the London School of Economics are to unite for their university march, for an inter-university march. Similar events are being held at the University of Bristol, Queen Mary University of London, and the University of Edinburgh. Jewish groups said the rallies exposed the need to protect Jewish communities who felt intimidated by their insensitive timing. Do you know what's insensitive timing? The rest of the world's carrying on. All the fashion weeks happening while there are genocides going on all across the world. I'm not saying that genocides are new things, but you know, the more aware you become, the more disgusted you become with everything continuing, like literally business as usual in the capitalist sense, business as usual, as people continue to be killed, raped, all of the sorts, tortured. Like, things still continue. But you're saying that they should stop the marches that are asking for genocides to stop. You know, if you want the marches to stop, stop the genocide. It's so simple. The marches will actually stop when the genocide stops. What's not clicking? God. But not the oppressive kind. Anyway. A spokesman for the Board of Deputies said, we are disgusted by reports of hate-filled protests on university campuses in the wake of the terror attack on the Heaton Park Hebrew congregation. It is clear we need fundamental change of mindset to drive out anti-Jewish incitement at all levels of our society. I just think you lot are unintelligent how you are continuing to conflate anti-Zionist protests with being anti-Semitic. They're not one and the same, because not every Zionist is Jewish and not every Jew is a Zionist. So I don't really understand what you mean. Louis Danker, president of the Union of Jewish Students, said, marking 2 years of resistance on October 7th echoes the explicit justification and glorification of the Hamas terrorist attacks on campus witnessed over the last 2 years. No Jewish student should have to stand by as others glorify a day that marks such loss for our community. The powers announced by Mahmoud would allow police chiefs to consider the cumulative impact of repeated protests when deciding whether to impose restrictions, such as instructing organisers to hold them elsewhere. They would need to be satisfied that a protest was likely to cause serious disruption. Anyone breaching the conditions would risk 6 months in jail and an unlimited fine. And apparently the powers would be added to the crime and policing bill. It's quite frankly disgusting. Then we've got who he's here. The model Rosie Huntington-Whiteley steps out in a chic blazer dress as she arrives for a private party at Paris Fashion Week. Okay. Okay, girl. Is she with Jason Statham? Is she the one that's with Jason Statham? Or did I make her up? She's with somebody. Tories pledge tax bonus for first home after first job. Huh? Young people would be given a £5,000 national insurance rebate towards the cost of their first home when they get their first full-time job under Conservative plans to reward work. Sir Mel Stride, the Shadow Chancellor, will today announce proposals for a first job bonus that would divert national insurance payments into a long-term savings account. For a working couple, the bonus would be worth £10,000. Wow. Wow. That's so amazing. £10,000, really? when the house prices are now hitting the millions. Nonsense and ingredients. The plan would benefit 600,000 people a year, and the Conservatives say the £2.8 billion cost would be funded by cutting government spending, including ending sickness benefits for milder mental health conditions. So they plan to give you money towards your first home. They'll put it aside for you. But the catch is, fuck your mental health. You'll probably take your own life before you get the chance to use that deposit for anything meaningful. Home, don't even think about it. Jump off a bridge, they said. Absolutely crazy. And that's not me making light of suicide. Let's just be clear. That's not me making light of Susu. My issue is, before I even got to this, because what I like to do is a first off reading of these, these headlines. I don't prep beforehand because it's not fun that way. I like to live life on the edge. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the South Londoner in me, or maybe it's the Nigerian, the Lagosian. But the reason I say this is, I hadn't even seen this before I talked about earlier the culmination of the mental health crisis as well as the identity crisis that Britain is currently going through, right? And this is proof of that. So we already do not have a robust mental health service or a mental health framework in this country. It's not being funded enough. And you're saying that you want to cut the money, not cut your money as ministers, not tax billionaires, but to cut the funding that would go towards mental rascal health. You would rather cut that. And then how you're going to get people is, oh, well, at least I'll have a home. You won't have your mind. You will not have your mind. You will be without your mind. You will take leave of your senses before that even happens. People just say anything. In fact, let me be shadow minister of blood clot, because I could just make up anything as well. You don't want to take the money from the places that money can be taken from. You want to take money from the places that are already struggling. Milder mental health conditions. What do you mean by milder mental health conditions? Because if you take away money that supports milder health mental health conditions, that means it's going to get severe. So you'll have more people with severe mental health conditions. And if you take away the funding for milder mental health conditions, less people can actually work. Anyway, and banning 500,000 foreigners from accessing the welfare state. That's where you really wanted to go with it. So fuck mental health care, and also get the immigrants out of here. You are always going to have a racist rhetoric there somewhere, a xenophobic rhetoric there somewhere, some wild immigration hoo-ha. The policy represents the Conservative Party's first major offer to young people as Kemi Badenoch attempts to revive her political fortunes. At the last election, people in work deserted the party, and the age at which the average voter switched to the Conservatives rose to 63 from 39 in 2019. Stride will say in his speech, when we deliver the urgent change that is needed to stop young people going straight from school to a life on benefits, we will use those reforms to fund tax cuts that are laser focused on aspiring young people, helping people to buy a home, build a family, save for the future. That is the Conservative dream, a dream that built my life. It is why I stand before you today, and I'll fight every single day to make sure that dream is burning bright for younger people and for the generations to come. They love to talk about how they fight every day for this, that and the other. I'd actually like to see them fight. As somebody that's really enjoying my Muay Thai sessions, I think that more of these politicians should actually get in a ring and fight. You want the policy to go through? I don't even mean that in an ableist way. I'm not saying that only, but I'm looking at some of these lot, and I really want to fight Nigel Farage. And I feel like if I were to beat the shit out of Nigel Farage, anything that I want as a policy should go through. I think it's only fair. Not because, yeah, okay, he's not currently in power, but I'm saying hypothetically, if he were to be in power, we should all be like, let's nominate Kelechi to fight him. And if she wins, everything she wants goes through. Like, just fight. No weapons, just fight. I would fight him. him specifically, not anybody else coming and offering yourself like, Kelechi, do you want to fight me? Absolutely not. Go away. Nigel Farage, Donald Trump specifically, I want to fight them. Right? But this is all crap. It's not going to benefit anybody. It's a very, very stupid idea, stupid on so many levels. And it's this idea, again, of building, getting a home, building a family, safe for the future. They just want you to be tied into debt, have children so you can get more debt because you're trying to provide for your children. And that way, you will never disrupt the status quo because you've got so much tied into the system that you can't afford for the system to crumble. So, yeah, basically... fuck all of that and fuck the Tories. Now we've got The Guardian. The Guardian here says the alarm over ministers' plans to give police more anti-protest powers. Civil liberty groups hit out at crackdown on mass demonstrations. Let me see my phone. Okay. All right. Just checking on my order. Where's the driver? Sorry, you're in my real-time life, so you're going to have to bear with me. Anyway, it says here, civil liberty groups expressed concern yesterday over government plans to hand police greater powers to restrict protests as organisers of mass demonstrations against the banning of Palestine Action pledged a major escalation of their campaign. Shabana Mahmood, the Home Secretary, said yesterday that repeated large-scale demonstrations over Gaza had caused considerable fear for the Jewish community since the terrorist attack on a synagogue last week. Under new powers, police would be able to impose tougher conditions on static protests or marches by taking account of the cumulative impact of previous similar demonstrations, she said. Following her statement, the pressure group Defend Our Jewries promised to escalate the demonstrations in support of Palestine Action over 10 days in November. Love the energy. Give it to them. Absolutely. That's what should be done. You're not going to tell us to not use the rights that are actually ours to use because you don't feel comfortable with it. I feel like that's absolutely crazy. People will do what they want to do. It says here, following her statement, the pressure group Defend Our Jewries promised to escalate the demonstrations in support of Palestine Action over 10 days in November. Yep, as I said that they should. The Home Secretary's extraordinary new affront to our democracy will only fuel the growing backlash to the ban, a spokesperson said. The measures were announced after nearly 500 people were arrested in London at the weekend for expressing support for Palestine Action, which is interesting because Tommy Robinson's racist march, as in Stephen Yaxley Lennon, his racist march, I think what, just under 30 people were arrested. But for a pro-Palestine march, 500 people were arrested at the weekend. 500 at the weekend. Jewish community leaders, police and Keir Starmer had called on Palestine Action protesters to refrain from demonstrating after Thursday's killing of two people in a terrorist attack on a Manchester synagogue. But this isn't about necessarily Palestine Action. This is about the genocide in Palestine. But they know what they're doing. Mahmood will also look at anti-protest laws with the possibility that powers to ban some demonstrations outright could be strengthened. Shami Chakrabarti, the Labour peer and former shadow attorney general, warned that the government should pause before passing draconian powers that could end up in the hands of a Nigel Farage-led government. Street protest that isn't a bit of a nuisance isn't usually effective, but any government seeking to further restrict it should think about new powers in Farage's hands, she said. And I would think that that's common sense. And the fact that they're not thinking about this means that if I had my tinfoil hat on, it's almost like all of these things are meant to plant a seed. Keir Starmer is a plant, allegedly, to stoke these divisions so somebody like Farage can come into power, and the stage has already been set. So when everybody was like, oh, Labour, we've got to vote strategically. You could vote as strategically as you want to. If what you're voting for is Labour as an alternative to the Conservative Party, you're not going to get much change. That's what we're realising now anyway. And we're needing for the Green Party to be a bit more robust, because your party with Zara and Jeremy isn't really instilling confidence in people in the way that it should. China's basically here telling the UK to mind out before it finds out if you're accusing people of being enemies. That was the last part there. And then we've got the iPaper. Reeves, what's this? Home buying shakeup will force sellers to list problems with property before sale. Good. Good. I hope it is good, but I think it is good because people are just selling things. I want that for cars as well. People are just selling shit and lying. Ban threat on protests that risk serious disruption. But isn't the point of protest disruption? It's an expression of public disobedience. So why would police want to police something that is our inherent right as human beings? Here we've got the fallen House of York. Duke and Duchess lying low after Epstein scandal. They should lie low in the ground. Victoria Derbyshire, my cure for emptiness, tracking my son's location. I know people who love to track people. I won't say any names. David Aranovich, Aranovich, let's pause the hate and listen to the peacemakers for once. I don't know if I even like the sound of that. Reeves looks at budget tax hike on bank profits to raise billions. Chancellor is considering higher taxes on banks to help fill a hole in the UK. UK's public finances. Treasury officials examine an increase to the existing surcharge as well as an entirely new levy in order to raise at least £2 billion from the financial services industry. But who are they going to push those fees onto? Is it not us? Backers of the move are lobbying the Chancellor, citing bumper profits at Britain's major banks. The Conservatives, meanwhile, pledge to cut spending on personal independence payments and sack a quarter of civil servants to help balance the books if they win power at the next election. Everyone's really... Are they craving a snap election? It feels like it. I don't know. I'm enjoying going through the news, but it's just funny to see how all of this is just drivel that is meant to get people worried. Do I want to read about Rachel Reeves? Rachel Reeves is considering imposing a tax hike on bank profits as she seeks to fill a multi-billion pound black hole in the public finances at the next budget. The Chancellor has been fiercely lobbied to increase the existing bank surcharge or introduce an entirely new levy to raise at least £2 billion for the financial services industry, from the financial services industry. Those who support a tax increase cite the higher profits enjoyed by major banks since interest rates began to rise from their historic lows a few years ago. Multiple sources told the iPaper that the proposal is being actively considered by the Treasury ahead of next month's budget, which is widely expected to have a raft of tax rises in response to a deterioration in economic forecasts. But why won't there be a deterioration when you want to keep pushing money into war and military bullshit as opposed to pushing money into people and communities? You're going to keep having the same problems over and over, and you can't treasury your way out of a recession like that. You can't. You're not helping the people. So you're going to feel the effects of that. Property vendors will be, I've moved on to another story now. Property vendors will be forced to disclose problems with their homes before they are sold under plans by the government to cut costs for buyers and speed up purchases. The proposals, which the government is billing as the biggest shakeup to the home buying system in England's history, could also mean buyers and sellers entering into binding contracts aimed at stopping sales from falling through. At the heart of the reforms is a new requirement for sellers and estate agents to provide buyers with vital information up front. The Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government, MHCLG, said that sellers and agents would have to publish information from searches and surveys before a property listing is published. A listing would also need to include specific details about the condition of the home, leasehold costs, and whether the sale would be part of a property chain. At the same time, buyers and sellers would have the option to sign binding contracts that would end the practice of parties pulling out of agreements months into the sale process. The Housing Secretary, Steve Reed, also wants to introduce mandatory online comparison information on the performance of estate agents and conveyancers. Good. The government claims the reforms could cut the buying process by 4 weeks and save first-time buyers £710 on average. The MHCLG told the iPaper that it arrived at the figure through a combination of reduced transaction failures, improved competition, and the cost of some responsibilities being transferred from buyers to sellers. Reid said, buying a home should be a dream, not a nightmare. Our reforms will fix the broken system so hardworking people can focus on the next chapter of their lives. Through our plan for change, we're putting more money back into working people's pockets and making a simple dream a simple reality. He thinks that sounds cute. But at the end of the day, like I said earlier, all of this push for people to be able to buy houses and to be able to do this and do that, not to say that people shouldn't have shelter, do you get what I mean? But this particular push for home buying and the such is to keep everyday people in more debt. Therefore, they're less likely to be disruptive. That's how I read it anyway. That's what I get from it. But yeah, if you see the stopping and starting that I even did to film and record this episode, you would laugh, hot breath laughs in my face. But I got through it. Another episode done. Another dissection, if you can call it that, because I just skimmed those pages, child. Another dissection of these headlines, and I'll be back on Monday. Will I be back on Monday? Yes, I'll be back on Monday to get into the rest of the things. Imagine a friend booking you a wonderful, wonderful suite at a fantastic hotel, and instead I said, no, let me record Front Page Fuckery, because why not? You know, it's my favorite thing to do, to share my opinions that nobody asked for. But that's it. Thank you for joining me, Kelechi, baby girl, aka mother of London, for another episode of Front Page Fuckery, where we turn bad news into great, great conversation. And I hope to catch up with you again. Do remember to like and subscribe if you haven't already. Do comment, because I love reading the comments and for you to share your views. You know what? I didn't even do your front this week, and I'm sure you've sent me emails, but I will do your front next week. Okay, let me get back to that suite. Thank you for joining me. Catch you on the other side of the news. Bye. Oh. Have you heard the news? It's probably been twisted to keep the general population conflicted. Better lick your finger and turn the page. Dissect the lines that paid you to rage. Get out of your Monday drudgery. Turn up the volume on Front Page Fuckery.